mostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friend, have stumbled upon the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. I said it in my last podcast, I'll say it again. August is an extremely busy month for your friendly host here, John Mallard. First and foremost, my little girl, Faith Marianne, turned 4 years old this month. And it was a very interesting birthday party. It was a frozen party. I guess we're keeping up with the times. And as I watched her try to pin the nose on Olaf, I realized my little girl, my goodness, has grown into just a little angel of 4 years old. Happy belated birthday to my precious darling. I got so many things on my plate right now, it's hard to juggle them. But if I'm going to juggle one thing, it's going to be the incredible response to my new book, Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Right now it's available on Amazon and Kindle. Okay, you get on Kindle, you download the app, you go into the store on Amazon, and you purchase the book for a mere $3.25. This book is awesome, and to say the least, you will be entertained. I really, really, really enjoyed writing it. And big kudos to my friend Steve Lake, who hopefully will be joining me later in the show to speak a little bit about ghosts. Another wonderful thing that came about this August, if you listened to my last podcast with Buckmaster Gotch from Cutting Edge Wrestling, I had invited him to join me for a ghost hunt. Of course, this actually did come to fruition between then and now, and we went to Cape Spear. He decided to have his tag team partner, Scott Gotch, join him as well, and needless to say, we did manage to capture something while we were down there. We were down in the far tunnel, tunnel number 2, and we had one recorder going in the hall, and we managed to capture this example of electronic voice phenomena, which I'll play for you right now. Opinion, you can clearly hear us talking in one of the side rooms, which is in that tunnel. But up the hall, you hear the EVP, and to me, it sounds like someone calling out to Adam. But what's really odd about it is the fact that it sounds like it's almost like music. Adam! Very, very strange. Now, needless to say, it was a surprise. Me, Buck, and Scott actually were in the car reviewing the evidence when we heard that. And I think it was enough to make them both believers. Of course, even when you do capture something, you'll have people look at you and say you're crazy. But I think on that fateful night, I will speak for Scott and Buck when I say they had a wonderful time. And they really, truly did have a communication with somebody who isn't there. Now, before I get to my special guest, Mr. Steve Lake, to talk everything ghosts and our upcoming venture to Atlanticon, I do want to bring you guys the paranormal news. First in the news, are you attending one of Canada's 5 haunted universities? You know, this time of year, we always associate it with kids going back to school, dreading their summer vacation being over, but we also talk a lot about the adult students out there. But what happens if you're attending one of Canada's 5 haunted universities? Does Halloween have you feeling more spooked than usual? The good news is that your imagination may not be running away with you. The bad news is you may be attending one of Canada's 5 allegedly haunted universities, 2 of which are actually located very close to here in Nova Scotia. The first being, of course, Seminary House at Acadia University. That's in Wolfville, Nova Scotia. According to Seminary House lore, a young female student in the late 1800s attended what was known as the Acadia Lady Seminary, a finishing school for young Baptist women. The still nameless young woman discovered she was with child and hanged herself to spare herself and her family the embarrassment of an out-of-wedlock pregnancy, taking her life in an area of the building's second floor that's known as the Well. Over the years, many paranormal activities have been reported at the Seminary House, now a student residence. Lights turn on and off. Footsteps are heard going up and down the back stairwell. Doors open and close on their own. Objects move by themselves, and disembodied voices can be heard throughout the residence. Some guests claim to have seen a young blood female wandering about the rooms and hallways, closing doors behind her and I'll believe this to be the ghost of the unfortunate unwed mother-to-be. She's been described as a plight, not surprising for a young Baptist woman. Remind me, if I am going to go back to school, which may happen, to definitely want to stay at the seminary house at Acadia University, Wolfville, Nova Scotia. Some other haunted places are Dark Hall at the University of Regina, the Health Sciences Center at the University of Manitoba, Dalton Hall at the University of Prince Edward Island, which is in Charlottetown, and Mount St. George College, which is at St. Francis Xavier University, which is in Antigosh, Nova Scotia. Now, Dalton Hall in Charlottetown, PEI, is really interesting. The ghost who allegedly haunts Dalton Hall at the University of PEI is believed to be that of a young student who froze to death during a storm in the 1960s after he was accidentally locked out of the building. He died just outside Dalton Hall's door. Since then, there have been reports of cold breezes or gusts of cold wind washing across the hall and a trail of water appearing on the floor where the student's room once was. A knock on the door has been heard, and when answered, some have claimed to see the ghost of the student standing silent and covered in snow before just as mysteriously fading away. A knock on the door has been heard, and when answered, some have claimed to see the ghost of the student standing silent and covered in snow before just as mysteriously fading away. And in St. Francis Xavier University in Antigosh, Nova Scotia, okay, which is Mount St. Bernard College, Mount St. Bernard College was opened by the Sisters of Notre Dame in the late 19th century as a Catholic girls' school before it became affiliated with St. Francis Xavier University a decade later. The college now functions primarily as a residence, including the allegedly haunted Gilmora Hall. According to legend, a nun who was a member of the Sisters of Notre Dame fell in love with a priest and, overcome with guilt, committed suicide by leaping to her death from the top of the hall. Students have since reported a number of mischievous goings-on, books being knocked over, footsteps echoing in empty hallways, toilets flushing on their own, elevators going from floor to floor, apparitions startling students in the hallway and on staircases. Residents have reported hearing disembodied voices. Others claim they've heard screams coming from empty games rooms. Some who live in the residence say the ghost of the unfortunate nun watches over them while they sleep sweet dreams. Now, as we head back to school, we always try to our best to pay attention in class, take our notes, and be the best that we can be. But as we pay attention in class, tell me something. Are we truly paying attention to our surroundings? Could these places, these universities, truly be haunted? I know one thing. If I was to pass away, the last place I'd want to spend my eternity would be studying in a university. I wonder what Hugh Hefner is at these days. Well, I tell you, hopefully Hugh and his Playboy bunnies aren't looking down, because if they look up, they may just capture a UFO. UFOs caught by Canadian news crew during forest fire coverage is my next story. This actually happened about 2 months ago. On July 17, 2014, a news organization in Western Canada posted a video shot in West Kelowna, northeast of Vancouver, featuring efforts to stop the Smith Creek wildfire. Now, this fire had caused quite a bit of damage, but as we actually see some of the planes flying overhead and dropping what they use to put out the flames, we actually see what looks like to be a UFO. And I'll post this link on the Facebook page for the Odd the Newfoundland. Shot out from the clouds above the mountain during a forest fire near our neighborhood. It pulled a wisp of cloud with it as it exited. A forest fire broke out on the mountain behind us, and during the attempt to put it out, this event took place. I was watching a video online of the fire from a little earlier in the day, and I spotted the UFO 37 seconds in. I have no idea whether anyone else has noticed this or not. Most folks would be focused on the fire. 30 seconds into the video, the UFO comes shooting out from a cloud right above the mountain and passes through a clear spot back into the next cloud. I was quite startled and surprised when I saw it. The UFO left a thin trail of cloud vapor as it exited the cloud. This, to me, eliminates any thought that this might be a camera lens artifact or light phenomena effect. The event lasted only a few seconds. Judging by the distance I was from the object, it had to have been moving very fast. The scene cuts away while the UFO is still visible. I'm left to assume that there must be more footage of it than I saw. I phoned the website's news department to ask if it would be possible to see the full footage, but was met with disapproval. In retrospect, perhaps I shouldn't have mentioned the word UFO. Now, while no official explanation has surfaced about the UFO, Mark D'Antonio, chief photo and video analyst of the Mutual UFO Network, a.k.a. MUFON, who took the video, he suggests the object could have been a bolide, a type of very bright meteor that streaks through Earth's atmosphere. I'm convinced that this is a really good find, D'Antonio told Open Minds. It is an Earth grazer, a meteor that approaches the atmosphere at a shallow angle and continues on, skipping off the atmosphere back into space. Some of them will slow down enough to become trapped and fall to Earth, but many times just skip on off and keep going. This one does indeed show a vapor trail as it moves through. It does come out from behind the cloud, and it moves at a speed completely consistent with Earth grazers. So there you have it. Looks like MUFON actually disproved this being a UFO. But as you watch the video, you can't help but be captivated by this potential UFO sighting. It's so great that we have people like MUFON out there who are investing their time, such as myself, into areas of the paranormal. And, you know, when we see something like this, the last thing we want is a false positive, so to speak. I know one thing that's positive. There was a woman in China who is definitely feeling the effects, not from anything earthly, but from something from herself. For this Chinese woman gave birth to a nearly 14-pound baby. A Chinese mother has given birth to a 13.8-pound baby boy. The baby was born Saturday by cesarean section at the Changi Maternity Hospital, the South China Morning Post reported. He weighed as much as the average three-month-old. Now, the baby boy was the second for the 34-year-old mother, identified only as Tian. While larger than normal, the baby is not a record breaker. Guinness World Records says a 23.8-pound baby was born to Nova Scotia-born Anna Bates in her Ohio home on January 19, 1879. That baby boy died 11 hours later, unfortunately. Bates herself weighed 18 pounds at birth, and as an adult, was 7'5.5 inches tall. I had to stumble that time to read that. My goodness gracious, where are all these giant babies coming from? Another thing that's linked to our proud culture here in Canada, Newfoundland is no exception, is our mounted police. But unfortunately, a pot-smoking Mountie with post-traumatic stress disorder weeps after handing in his uniforms. You know, this story really caught me. It caught me because it was an odd title, but I must say it is quite sad when you think about it. A tearful Mountie who made headlines by publicly smoking medical marijuana while in uniform has given back all his uniforms to the RCMP. Ron Francis gave up his operational uniforms late Thursday and went to the RCMP headquarters in Fredericton on a Friday to hand back his ceremonial red serge. He briefly addressed the media afterwards while fondling his 20-year service medal. "I earned this," said Francis, his voice shaking with emotion in a video posted online by CTV. "I earned it with my blood, my sweat, my tears." Now, Francis has been prescribed 3 grams of pot per day to deal with the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. He'd been given desk duty while getting treatment, but ran afoul of RCMP brass earlier this week when he appeared in media reports lighting up his drugs while in uniform, which is a big no-no, even if it is medicinal. Constable Julia Rogers Marsh said Francis is now absent from the office on leave, but she refused to comment on why the officer had given up his uniforms. In a Thursday media statement, the RCMP said it wouldn't condone or support a Mountie smoking medically prescribed weed while in uniform. Rogers Marsh also wouldn't confirm reports Francis has been ordered not to speak to the media. Public Safety Minister Stephen Blaney said he's glad the pot-smoking Mountie's uniforms are back in the RCMP's hands. "I think it was the right thing to do," said Blaney. "I do have the utmost respect for those officers, and of course, when they are facing tougher times, there are appropriate programs, but we can't condone the smoking of marijuana while in uniform." And what do you guys think of that? I think of a man who's given his life to his uniform. He has post-traumatic stress disorder, which I'd like to think is probably from his job, and now they're going to bust on him for smoking medicinal marijuana. I think what we have here is a lack of education on the positive effects of what marijuana can do for a person. I myself am pro-weed, we'll say. I don't smoke it myself. Not really a fan of it. I'd rather a drink. But I look at it the same way as I do alcohol, I guess. That if it was to be legalized, it should be done on your own time. And I guess the fact that he had a surge on probably wasn't the best way of rolling up a joint. But, you know, in retrospect, as I do support him and his decision, I will say this. This explains absolutely everything about Dudley Do-Right from the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. Why he jumped on his horse backwards. Why he was always oblivious to what's going on with them. And why he always seemed to be eating all the time.
Well, maybe not the last one. All in all these news stories have been odd to Newfoundland. Now time for tonight's special guest.
And welcome back to the podcast, folks. First and foremost, a big welcome to my guest, Steve Lake. Born and raised in St. John's, Steve Lake was first published in 2010 with a short story Legacy of Full Moon. He's a part of the editing team at Engine Books, whose editing credits include all Black Moon books after Roulette, as well as Infinity. He has been a fan of science fiction from a young age, including giant robots, starships, alien creatures, vampires, and werewolves. Not only that, but he can add to his accolades now the editor, which automatically makes you chief editor, by the way, Steve, of the brand new book, New Fee VP, Talking to the Dead in Newfoundland. And we've had tremendous success with that. Here to talk everything ghosts, and we got lots of things to talk about, Mr. Steve Lake, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for the intro, Johnny. Wow. I did all that.
Yeah, buddy. You know, after so many years of announcing me to the ring and professional wrestling, I figured about time I announced you for a change.
I'm grateful for the intro. Love it. And I love the new VVP book. It was a joy to read, and I'm glad it's out there.
Me too.
The work you're doing is awesome.
And, you know, I think those stories need to be heard. And, you know, as a third party will say, because it's me, Rob, and then you, it must be interesting to have a bird's eye view of all the madness.
It is, especially, his coffee, which I think should be illegal in several states.
Yeah, there was a picture of that up on Facebook the other day, 7 sugar, 3 cream.
It's probably the one instance in which you would hear a Tim Hortons employee say no.
Yeah, there should be like some kind of diabetes disclaimer on the side of that thing. All right, Steve. So I thought we'd start off, you know, with a great topic. And, you know, it's one that's very close and dear to my heart, which is in our wonderful realm of parapsychology, well, the blanket term, ghosts. And, you know, it just so happens that over the last 24 hours... And you can't see my quotation marks on Skype with my fingers right now. A ghost picture has been taking and, how should we say, infecting the media of Newfoundland from Tor Bay. Did you have a chance to check out that picture?
I saw the picture. It even made the local news, and I saw your response to it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it, and of course, the first thing I thought was, it's fake.
Yeah.
I saw it, and first thing I immediately think is, that's a bad Photoshop job.
Yeah, me too.
Which, apparently the area has its own ghost history,
mm-hmm.
which is cool, because there's a lot of places in Newfoundland that do. We're rich in the supernatural histories and stories, but I don't believe this is associated to one of them.
That's right. And you know, it's, like, take it from someone who... absolutely wishes this was a real picture. Okay? I don't like getting on Facebook and debunking, which is a word that came from Ghost Hunters, by the way. I don't like getting on Facebook and debunking things. I hate doing that, but when I see something grip the media like that fast, and I see just how horrible a Photoshop job it was, it kind of needed to be said, so I kind of jumped in there and was the wet blanket, but hey, what can you do?
Software did you run through?
Just your basic, I got some stuff with, oh my God, what is it? PhotoLab. Believe it or not, there's a wonderful method of doing this in Sony Vegas.
Okay.
And, the Movie Shop Platinum. You run it through and it can actually show you where different pixels have been moved. Because remember, when a Photoshop takes place, it's either A, just put over another picture, or it's actually melded in there, we'll say, by moving different pixels around. And it was quite obvious that the bottom of the ghostly apparition skirt was indeed in front of the post it was supposed to be behind. So it was a pretty easy find. I guess it comes from having to debunk myself so much, Steve.
Well, you're looking at the onus, the burden of proof. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's something you face every time you do a bit of research.
Absolutely. And when people ask me, do I believe in ghosts? My response is, I believe in the phenomena.
I believe in something.
Yeah.
I believe there's more out there.
And you, Steve, what are your beliefs in the afterlife, we'll say? You know, I happen to think that you're a very well-read man, as an author yourself, of many things that have to do with the paranormal. But me and you have had many conversations, very long and winded, geeky ones on Facebook,
yes.
Actually, about certain ghostly phenomena. What ones strike you as... maybe even with relation here to St. John's, what ghostly phenomena do you feel really are taking place here?
Well, personally, after seeing and experiencing things with, you know, with my own eyes and my own senses over the past 35 years, I believe there is something more to this world and the next. There is a communication that goes on between the two. I believe one of our local parks is haunted. I believe my own home is haunted.
One of our local parks, eh?
I have a witness to that. One of our local parks, Bowering Park, is surely haunted. I know the story of the little girl that the park is dedicated to. Apparently her ghost does go around.
Wow.
And there are at least three of us at one point that did see a shape run through a cloud of expelled cigarette smoke. On a still night in Bowering Park when we really shouldn't have been in the park.
And you said, okay, well, right away my lad sense is tingling. I've got to tell my friend Robert about this. We've talked about Bowering Park before, but we never actually heard the story in total from you. So,
yeah, apparently it's the spirit of the little girl that the park is dedicated to.
Wait a second. Am I right in saying that the Peter Pan statue, the iconic Peter Pan statue, was also in her memory?
Yes, it is.
I would love to go down there and look for a little bit of electronic voice phenomena, because we all know that monuments might be the case. But, correct me if I'm wrong, but did I just hear you say that your own house is haunted as well?
Oh, my own house is haunted. The original owner or builder of the house is here.
In
residence or visitation, whichever way you want to put it.
In residence.
And he has been heard. Ironically enough, myself and a friend were here one night watching one of the ghost hunting shows, one of the many that are on TV, and they held their little seance asking if there's anybody here, knock two times to give us a sign. And with nobody else in the house completely empty, even my landlord was in Texas and his dog was at someone else's house, there was only two physical people here. From my bedroom, you distinctly heard two knocks.
Oh.
And I, my friend jumped out of his seat, and I looked down in the hall, and I said, "Not you, we know you're here." And there was one more resounding knock.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's ghostly communication, and then there's, like, ghostly, I'm here, look at me. And when you can actually hear vibration like that in a room, that's pretty darn compelling. And I've approached you before about investigating your house, Steve, but you're just so darn busy.
My timing, the fact that I work midnight to 8, sometimes at this point on my schedule, like 8 days a week. So when I do get a day off, finally, I usually crash.
Yeah.
but we will coordinate it. We will work it out.
Absolutely. Another thing too that always strikes me, you know, as an author myself now, thanks to yours truly, when I think about what we write, sometimes I feel maybe that we maybe, how should we put this, be muddying up the waters when we write fiction versus nonfiction, because I know that you write fiction books, right?
Yes, I do.
But what elements do you feel that are within your books you've written, and your short story in particular, that you feel might actually be real? Okay.
My stories primarily center around one of the main characters is human, the other is a vampire, and I'm not personally convinced vampires are real. They live in a world where vampires, goblins, ghosts, ghouls, things that go bump in the night, all of these are just scientifically factual real. So that's the way that little mini universe answers things. I haven't brought ghosts into it yet. I've stuck mainly with werewolves and vampires. And if you're asking me on the night of a full moon if a human being can metamorphose into a wolf creature, I'm going to say no.
You haven't seen some of the people I know when they're very, very drunk. It can happen.
You haven't seen some of my ex-girlfriends.
Wow, I hope they're not listening right now.
No, I haven't gotten into ghosts. If I do bring in ghosts, I will approach it from more or less the, I don't want to call it the scientific method, or kind of even use the, almost like a courtroom method. The presentation of evidence.
That's presentation, right.
Of evidence is how I would approach using it.
Absolutely.
The same way that I approach, one of my characters is a self-defense, a gun nut. And before I write in whatever gun he's using, I research the weapon online first to make sure I'm getting my facts right about that gun.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's important, too. Actually, I wrote about that in our book when I wrote the chapter Sentencing the Skeptics. It's a preponderance of evidence. And what that basically means is that we can prove the existence of spirits, ghosts, and whatnot, and hauntings in a court of law, but because we can't recreate in a lab, we can't prove it with the scientific method. So there you have it.
But by a court of law, we would have to say there's some credence there. The evidence is there.
Absolutely. And, you know, I believe, and I'm sure you'll probably agree, Steve, that, you know, when it comes to hauntings and ghostly apparitions and all these crazy, wonderful things that seem to be happening, nobody's really a believer until they have their own brush with the paranormal.
You've got to have your own experience first before you start believing.
Absolutely.
That's definitely the case.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people I know who are skeptics or outright dismiss it. And I was like, well, have you ever seen anything unusual? And they're like, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not saying every bump in that you hear in your house is a ghost. I'm not saying every creak of a floorboard is a potential haunting, because you want to examine the house and find out from the ground up what you're dealing with first. And as Arthur Conan Doyle said for Sherlock Holmes, once you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth.
Mm-hmm. And that's so interesting. You have so many people that have been involved with cyclical research, which is a branch of what we do.
Now, Conan Doyle himself was a skeptic out to debunk everything spiritualistic.
Absolutely.
Which is why I can tie him in there.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, Doyle was actually one of the more interesting people because he had his own belief system, which was based on, once I've seen it, it exists. And that's what I feel is interesting. Because I, you know, not to bring up the horrible picture from Torbay again, but I am still skeptical of the idea that a ghost can be photographed, and I'm a paranormal investigator. So,
that's right, you should be skeptical.
I guess I kind of have to be. Not I'm going to be one of those crazy people who are like, oh, look, it's a ghost. No, actually, it's a speck of dust.
it's not a ghost. It's not a ghost. That's not an orb phenomenon. That's a firefly.
Awesome. an orb phenomena. Yeah. I see you, like, beat two pillows together, and all of a sudden your room is haunted as hell. Now, Steve, me and you have got I've got to mention this. Me and you have got a road trip coming up, buddy.
We've got a road trip. The end of the month, the 27th, 28th is AtlanticCon 3 at the Grateful Campus in beautiful Corner Brook on the west coast of Newfoundland. You're doing a presentation, as I recall.
Yes, I am going to be talking about the book Newfie VP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Cheap plug, number 25 tonight.
I'll be in attendance.
And, oh, please, I hope so. I hope you're there to grill me. And as the editor, maybe I'll be able to string the sentences together a little better for you. And I'm definitely going to be attending your podcasting seminar. Am I right in saying that?
Podcasting 101 will be going ahead. It originated out there last year, and it's a fun time.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting because, like, there's so much I need to know about making the Odds of Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast one of the best East Coast paranormal podcasts out there. And you've definitely got all the skills, man. This guy does a podcast named The Whostorian. And
yes.
I hate to say this around Steve because I'm afraid he might punch me through the computer screen, but I'm not a huge Doctor Who fan. Please don't hit me.
Man, that's cool. That's cool.
But I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so we can still talk.
Talk
to me a little bit about
the Whostorian podcast. It's a weekly podcast about the TV show Doctor Who, the history of the show, and reviews of the episodes. And I've learned so much in the 3 years that I've been doing that podcast that I never thought I would know before about audio equipment and audio editing. And I just bring all that to the table for this podcasting 101 talk.
Absolutely.
And I'm still learning. So
I'm a fine tooth comber, my friend. Like, I'll go over what I'm recording on my recorder here, and I'll go in and I'll edit out long dragged out things, and I'll do it all just to make sure we sound so much smarter than what we actually are.
Well, you've got your work cut out for you.
And, you know, AtlanticCon, of course.
On my end.
On my end, yeah. Well, some of us are better writers than tacos, right, Steve?
I don't know. I've learned to do both over the years, so, and you are a phenomenal writer in your own right, man. That book is amazing.
Thank you.
The passion that's gone into New VVP, it comes through when you read it, and that's what makes it a really good read.
Thank you so much, Steve, because let me tell you, as I put this book out there, I really do want people to know they're going to get lost in those pages. To me, there's no difference between a wrestling match, a good TV show. It's whether or not it's 100% factual like a wrestling match, or it is 100% factual like I present, it's about getting lost for that little bit of time, forgetting about life for a while. to quote the Piano Man song, to forget about that for a while. We're gonna, well, I'll probably edit that one out, don't worry.
Well, I mean, I sat down first and foremost and read through the book before I edited. Mm-hmm. And even the read through, I messaged you and I was like, so I got the read done. And you're like, wait, didn't I just give that to you?
Yeah, literally like 24 hours. Like, honestly, this guy's a speed reading champion. Now, mind you, the book isn't super long. It's only about 200 pages. But, I mean, which is a pretty long book, though, for nonfiction in this genre, actually, the go-between, unless I'm a scientific-type person, is probably between 150 to 300. So, but, man, quick read for Steve Lake. He messaged me back, like, within 24 hours. He's like, yeah, I'm done. I'm like, what? I'm like, did you skip the part, like, with ghosts in it?
I devour books, man. It's in my nature. I'm a reader.
And, Now, bless you for doing that, Steve, because, you know, without you, there'd be very little chance of me even wanting to put that up, because I know it wouldn't be grammatically sound enough. By the way, cannot? One word, Johnny. One word.
Yes, it is.
Get over it. You know, I have an idea that, you know, for your next editing venture, hopefully with me, there is going to be a series of these books, by the way. Maybe not necessarily focusing on electronic voice phenomena, but the ideal thing would be able to have like two little web dings with like a can and an actual tied knot. And every single time somebody makes a mistake, you just paste it in there. That'd be awesome.
No, that's when I'll break out the red pen.
Okay. So back on the subject of ghosts here in Newfoundland. What stories do you find here in Newfoundland that attract you the most? You know, we got so many different ones. There's obviously, you know, stuff that different teams have done. But is there any locations in Newfoundland you'd love to investigate yourself?
Well, I'd like to go back. Like I said, I'd like to do a proper investigation of Barring Park. Mm-hmm. There's an old campsite I was at as a boy in Petty Harbour that I wouldn't mind checking out.
Mm-hmm.
The Masonic Temple in St. John's, the former Masonic Temple, I should say, that's now housing Spirit of Newfoundland Productions.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a funky place. There's a feeling you get when you walk in the door.
I'm going to let you in on a little secret here, a little lad's tidbit just for you, Steve. I've actually been in contact with the Masonic Temple, and we are actually in negotiations, we'll say, right now, to actually have this happen. So hopefully we'll get a chance to get in there, nice. And hopefully you're off. So I'd love to have you there.
I would book it off.
We're going.
And that is awesome.
We had to wait till the fall, so but we'd like to get in there and perhaps put together like a mini doc for it. So anywhere else you'd like to go in Newfoundland that you feel might be haunted or the stories would just attract you to go there?
The plane crash site outside of Gander.
Ah, yes. The plane crash. Oh my god. That was many moons ago now.
Yes.
But I have heard, actually, not just recently, my cousin Mason Gulliver actually just got his pilot license, and out there was a ceremony for that, and that airfield. Okay. And they actually mentioned to me I should go out there with my gear sometime and investigate. I'm getting all kinds of great ideas talking to you, Steve. Mm-hmm. Are you trying to write my next book for me, Steve?
Ghost write it, sure.
Okay, now I got to know... I got to know some insider stuff from you since I had the cat out of the bag a little bit too. You know, there's a lot of things you got your hands in, Steve, that just I absolutely love. First off, what are you working on right now in your next endeavor, we'll say, as an author?
My next endeavor as an author, I have another short story going with my characters, Frank and Ryan, which you've read a couple of their stories already.
By the way, guys, wicked work. Like, oh my God. I actually like it. If you like the dialogue that Whedon had in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you're gonna like Steve Lake's writing. I know who he's, what target audience he's going for. He's going for our generation.
I'm working on another story with them. I just recently figured out a twist on how to get the bad guy working right, and I was stuck for like a month, and I now know how to do it, so I'm really happy that I got that. I almost didn't sleep two nights ago because I had to start writing. I've got a story based in the Engine universe that Matt LeDrew is waiting for me to finish, based around his characters from Black Womb, because he let me into that universe, and that's about 2 years in development because I've been editing and I'm lazy. But those are the two big ones on the plate right now. author was.
Okay. We also know you got your hands into sci-fi and The Rock, which is, you know, your baby, we'll say. I'm not going to say it's Darren Hand's baby, but we'll say it's the baby you look after a little bit. Maybe a whole lot. Any news for sci-fi and The Rock? Anything at all you can tell us? Even a little tidbit? Anything?
Currently vice chairman of Sci-Fi and The Rock, I am, and enjoying that. I will say what I can say.
Okay. You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first, folks, on the Out of Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Drum roll, please.
Bear in mind, we do not have anything signed yet, so I'm going to see if I can give you a couple of little ambiguous hints. First up, who knows? Who knows who could turn up?
Oh, no way.
And second, there might be some kind of a lord dropping in on our system. It's...
What?
As clear as I can get right there with that.
Guys, he just gave away two great big tidbits for Sci-Fi and The Rock number, oh my god, 9 now?
Number 9.
Wow. You know, I feel like a baby there last year. And I'm so glad to have been invited to be part of that. And of course, once again, Steve, without you, lads wouldn't have been there. You know, you're instrumental in everything we do, man.
April 24th to the 26th of 2015 at the Holiday Inn here in St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be an amazing time. We're going to have so much fun. Last year blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to have lads on board and listen, have people sitting down listening to your EVP and hearing their interpretations of stuff. I was down around the room a couple of times.
It was interesting.
And it was interesting, and the free coffee was great.
Yeah, we thought about you guys. It's always fun to get out in the community. I feel that's something that the other ghost hunting teams will say, or paranormal investigation teams in Newfoundland, refuse to do. And, I don't know why, but, I will say anybody who is out there doing what I'm doing right now, which is, you know, paranormal investigations, you gotta let the world know, man. Cause
get
people
together,
love this stuff.
Together, work together on this stuff. I mean,
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
Don't keep it in the shadows. Let's bring it into the light of day.
That's right. Lorelei knows we need better pictures than what we got in Tor Bay. I mean, look at that.
Yes.
God, I can't stop talking about it. I'm horrible.
That's beyond a cell phone camera.
I'm pretty sure there's actually a cell phone app. I'm going to download it and see if I can totally...
I want to go down there because from a second picture that's posted on the news website,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like that pole that's in front of the ghost actually exists.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be shopped into.
Who knows? It could be from another picture transposed. Oh, God, Steve, this is even getting even worse. Down deeper. So just a quick little recap of everything we covered tonight. Steve Lake is awesome.
And, potentially haunted. Potentially haunted. My apartment certainly haunted. Johnny mm-hmm. Chaos, Johnny Mallard, an awesome, awesome guy, an all-around great author. Check out lads. Find me on Twitter at Style and Steve. You can find the Historian, thehistorian.ca. Sci-Fi on the Rock is next April. AtlantaCon is at the end of this month. We're going to have fun.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. Now, I am the probe, insert anal joke here. I am the probe who will be sent out first and foremost.
Ahead of the Atlanta convoy, yes.
Yes, and I will be sending back instant transmissions to you guys about signs of life particular signs of life from what we call moose. And, you know, it's an honor to be that probe, as my wife really does want to go up a little earlier. She's not that too keen on having to drive for 8 hours, but, let me tell you, when you're as passionate about geekology, we'll say, in my particular area, and as well as yourself, you know, we're basically going to spend, what, $600-$700 to do this, and, we all can't wait to go.
We all can't wait to go. It's going to be an amazing time.
And, hopefully, we'll see you guys at AtlantaCon.
Thanks, John.
Not a problem. So it's been a pleasure, Steve. Thanks so much for being on.
And with that, I do say goodbye. I look forward to talking with you once again. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu. From the Odds of Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.